Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. And today we're in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 49. We're finishing the chapter. This whole chapter has been a series of Jesus' teachings, whether all done at once or done in separate times and all strung together for Luke's gospel, I don't know, but each of them kind of interesting on its own. Yesterday we heard about specks and logs, right? You know, why do you work at getting a speck out of your neighbor's eye when you have a log in your own? It was about hypocrisy. I kind of felt that maybe there was a softer way to read it. And anyway, that was yesterday. So today, the teaching continues. So let's see what happens. It's Luke 6, 43 to 49. Jesus says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house, who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against the house, but could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on a ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house." So, picks up on the hypocrisy thing, I think, right? No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. I think there's an indication certainly that we should bear good fruit. You know, if you want to be a good person, then actually be a good person. I think we get an idea of what a hypocrite looks like. I mean, that's somebody who says all the right things, but in their heart, no, they don't really believe it. And you can see it. I think that's what Jesus is suggesting. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor grapes picked from a bramble bush. So if you are thorns, no matter what you say, you're not producing figs. And I get that. The good person out of the good treasure of their heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. I hear it. The problem for me is that it leads me to a conclusion that may not actually be in the text, but it sort of leads me to a conclusion that we can divide the world into good people and bad people. And no matter how hard bad people try, they're just bad people because they're thorns and they're never going to produce the figs the good people do. Whereas I think that Jesus also does invite us to change from being brambles to being grape-producing vines, or from being thorns to being able to produce figs. I think that's what my faith says, but this kind of makes me think that you can't switch. But if I really look at it, I suppose I could also see that what Jesus is saying here is that any change has to come from the heart. You have to mean it. You can't just put it on and pretend. And that fits nicely with the next piece where he says, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? So you can say you're a follower of Jesus, but if you don't actually follow the things that Jesus says and does, if you don't actually act on the knowledge, you know, of what you've experienced in Jesus, then you're just going to keep producing thorns. And then if to make that clear, it's like, okay, so at the heart of all of this is your faith. What is it built on? Right? And if it's built on a firm foundation, then it will not be shaken. But if it's not on a firm foundation, if you just say the right things, do the right things, that doesn't necessarily get you where you want to go. And I appreciate that. It challenges me a little bit because I am one of those people who has advised to some folk, fake it till you make it. Don't quite get this whole faith thing. I go, okay, I got it. Act like you do. The danger, of course, is when someone like me gives you that advice, then you act like it and you stay there. I would say you act like it, and from the at experience, you begin to change yourself. If I act like a hopeful person, I discover that I do become hopeful. I'm not just presenting myself as hopeful to the world around me, but I actually am hopeful inside. But that's the key, it's what goes on inside. So the whole thing thus far has been about hypocrisy, what you present on the outside being consistent with what's on the inside, or the outside being an expression of what's on the inside, ultimately. You can fake it for a while, but when the storm comes, for me, that comes, the bottom line for me, foundation-wise, for me personally, that comes to trust. Do I trust in God? I have all sorts of friends and colleagues, you know, who will love to quote things like, you know, they're closing one United Church every week. Across Canada, one United Church is being closed every week. And they've been saying that for 5 years. The math doesn't quite add up. But it is true. We are absolutely closing lots of churches. They don't seem to want to take into account that the demographic of the country has changed, that the options and the ways of getting spiritual nurture and guidance have changed. There are many, many, many more options now. It's just, no, their allegiance to my club in my clubhouse, you know, and we decry the end of all that's important and special to us. Religion is failing, and we gotta find a new clever way to do this and a new way to present that. And if we only get the kids, why can't we get the kids? Well, it's because there's just too much soccer and hockey and sports, and then we can't get them on Sundays, and then we can shop, and it's just the world is fighting against us, and we get very upset about it. And I want to say to my friends and colleagues, and I do, do you not trust God? I mean, ultimately. And I say it from a definite position of privilege. I've served the same church now for 19 years. I have been doing this for over 30. I have not felt my job at threat or at risk. So I appreciate that other people have a different experience than I have. But it still comes down, for me anyway, to do we trust? I'm not so worried about keeping the church alive. My question is, does God still have a plan for us? And I trust in that. And I do believe that God has a plan for us. So at this point, I still believe that God does have a plan, that God still uses us in community, in church community and things like that. Doesn't mean we can't adapt and change and grow, but ultimately, I trust God. So if my idea fails, yep, that isn't the failure of everything. If my norm, if the things I'm used to are changing around me, that doesn't mean that God is gone. I mean, I believe fundamentally, I trust fundamentally that God is in the world, that God loves me, that God loves the world, that God equips me also to love the world. And a vehicle for that has been the church. And if the church I know is changing, reshaping, or even disappearing, God will still find a way to help me love the world. Because that's what matters. So, I know, but if you just love the world and you have no income, you lose your job, then what are you going to do? And yeah, that worries me. Absolutely, it worries me. I'm a human being. But then I trust in God. And I think about Jesus who tells me, why are you worrying about tomorrow? There's enough worries for tomorrow. Worry just today. Reminds me to look at the lilies of the field and how they're dressed and how God adorns them and cares for them, a sparrow. All of those things that tells me that God is in the world. And what I'm really afraid of is losing the things that I think are essential or the things that I think are comforting. Yeah, I don't want to lose comforting things. But the bottom line is I trust God. So when I'm sitting at a deathbed or when I am confronted with something that just seems too overwhelming, involving a loved one, involving people I care about, involving myself, I fall back on, I know that God is here. That's my fundamental. So I'm not saying that, oh, you see, I've solved this. I have built my house on a firm foundation. I don't know if my foundation is firm enough, but that's what it comes down to. The bottom line is, for me, God loves me. God loves the world. God's not done with me. I trust first in God, not in myself. All right? I try to live with integrity and all those things, but I trust in God. There's my foundation. And in that, I do try to produce fruit, produce figs. I do my best to producing great. I want to bear good fruit, but I want to do that because of my trust in God, and I want to be part of what God's doing. Because of my love of humanity, my love of creation that God has invited me into. Not because I want to impress God so that God doesn't kill me and send me to hell. It's not so that I can impress people who will keep paying me a salary. It's not so that I can impress people and make money. It's not that. And to me, that's what this is talking about. So the thing is, for me, yeah, okay. I want to do with this what I did with yesterday's reading, which is I want to turn it inside out. So when I hear no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit, you know, that's something. So Norm, if you really are a follower, then you better go out there and bear some good fruit. And if you're not bearing good fruit, by the way, that's revealing that deep inside you're not good. Instead of hearing that, what I'm hearing is when I doubt the fruit that I'm producing, I'm reminded but to look into my heart. So when I fail, when I have an idea that doesn't come to fruition, when I want to love and support somebody, but I make a misstep or say the wrong thing and they're hurt or they're angry or they feel detached. When I forget to do something I knew I should have done, but I want to beat up myself and go, I am a horrible minister. I am a horrible husband. I'm a bad father. I'm a bad friend. I'm not good at any of these things. I am bad fruit. This passage, these words of Jesus reminds me, no, but let's look in your heart, Norm. Look in your heart. You are a good tree. So you're not bearing bad fruit. Okay? Keep bearing that fruit. Because you know in your heart, you know your intention. You know whether your agenda was, secretly to hurt somebody. Even though they've accused you of trying to hurt them, but you know that's not true. So don't worry about it. You will bear good fruit. Yeah, there may be something on your tree right now that a worm got to. I don't know. But don't give up, because you know, Norm, inside you're a good person. You know your intention. So keep trying. Because those people out there, they see the fruit that they can pick, but they don't know, they don't always appreciate the tree. You know what kind of tree you are. You know what it is you're growing. And so if that apple was a bad apple, don't stop. That's an anomaly. Because you are a good tree, you will bear good fruit. Keep at it. And by the way, if you can't figure out how to do good things, then look into your heart and ask yourself, okay, why am I doing this? Am I trying to prove it to somebody? Is there a reward that I'm looking for? Or is this a reflection of my trust in God? Is this a reflection of my love for creation? Is this a reflection of my love for my neighbor? By the way, if you can't love all of creation, then pick the part you can love. Might be the trees, might be the whales, might be your partner, might be your children, might be the folks down the street, might be the people that you have something with whom you have something in common. It doesn't have to be everybody. Let's start. And then let that grow. Pretty soon you're producing good fruit because in your heart you're doing what you do out of love. Right? Not out of some kind of narcissistic impulse. Not out of some transaction hoping that if I do this good thing I'll get a better reward. You know. And so you work on that part. I don't know. That's sort of what I'm hearing, and I guess the other piece in that for me too is that as I'm judging the world, and I think I confessed yesterday or maybe the day before, I like to judge occasionally. I know I'm not supposed to. I try to keep it to myself, but but as you're judging the world, be aware that as you're judging the fruit, you don't necessarily know what's going on in the tree. You don't know what the intention is. You don't know what the hope is. You don't know what the desire is. You don't know what the aspiration of that person is. So sure, judge the fruit in that moment, but don't be sure that you know everything about the tree because you don't. Now, I know I'm reading my own text into that. Very definitely I am. But because this text does seem to say that, bad fruit is an indication of a bad tree. But you see, I don't know that that's always true. I think real change does happen. That's the point. It's the point of my faith is that I can change. I can be selfish and I can learn to turn that. But I'm not going to turn that by producing that fruit. I'm going to turn that by changing my heart. And I can do that. And then the fruit will change. And as I'm watching you and I'm judging your fruit, I don't know what change you're in the midst of. I don't know where you started. I don't know where you're going to end up. I know that right now, that fruit is poisonous. You know what? I don't need that fruit from you. Thanks very much. No. So I may not seek your advice in this matter because I can see the cynicism and the despair, and I don't need that. But I'm not going to cut you out because I'm going to keep watching for the good fruit because I don't know what you're doing. You might be in the midst of change, and as you change, I want to be part of that. So I'm going to take the fruit when it's good. I'll let you worry about the tree. Oh man, I know I'm talking in circles now. I should probably stop. I know, this is short, isn't it? Not even 20 minutes yet. But I'm going to leave that with you for the weekend to think. I mean, Jesus says a lot of things in this, or maybe not. But I see a pastoral thing in this. I really do today hear God talking to me. And not because I've done a bunch of things badly lately, but I certainly have had moments of late going like, I could be a better husband. I could be a better dad. I could be a better minister. I could be a better friend. But I'm reminded, I do know what's in my heart. So maybe this was just for me today, but maybe it turns out to be for you too. And maybe there's something else going on that's even more compelling. I will leave that with you. So for now, let me just simply offer a prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for the ability to bear fruit. And may our fruit match our hearts. And may this time of wondering be the kind of wondering that nurtures the generous, kind, open, imaginative heart. May this time of wondering be a time to hear your voice, to follow, and to grow in faith. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's enough for me today, but I look forward to seeing you on Monday. It's weekend. So have a wonderful weekend. Please know through this weekend that you are blessed. You're always blessed. God always sees you. God always loves you. And God's love not only surrounds you, but God's love actually moves through you into the world. That's what it is to be blessed. You are a conduit of God's love. You change the world, whether you know it or not. You really do. You matter so much. So thank you for being you. God bless you. And we'll see you on Monday.